Whether you bike, paddle, run, hike, or camp, the Midwest can be a gold mine. And we are featuring that this hour on the Lee Rayburn Show. So we invite you to share your favorite place across the Wisconsin or surrounding states where you love to bike, paddle, run, hike, and camp. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is the editor of a magazine that has been covering the biking, paddling, running, hiking, and camping across the Midwest for more than 40 years now. Lou Durzak is the editor of Silent Sports, the Journal of Human-Powered Recreation, and he's been writing for them since 1997. Lou, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
So almost 30 years now you've been covering the silent sports of the Midwest. And I just want to start by asking you, over that time, is there a story about Wisconsin that sticks out to you? Something that, you know, you'd wished everybody had read?
Hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. What's amazing to me is how things have changed since Greg Maher published his first issue in July of 1984. Greg was passionate about silent sports, but when he was writing, trail running wasn't a thing, gravel riding wasn't a thing, stand-up paddle boards wasn't a thing. So as it's evolved, people have found more and more ways to get outside and have fun. And we're fortunate that Wisconsin, Minnesota, Upper Michigan, we're just blessed with so many places to play.
We are. So what's one in Wisconsin that you would say everybody should visit or and everybody should take a chance to play there? I know one is not, it's like picking your favorite child, but just
right.
One that comes to mind.
You know, Devil's Lake State Park.
Yes.
Right? It's one of the most highly visited parks in the state. But if you want to introduce a child or a family to the outdoors, it's spectacular. The hiking, the views, the vistas are fantastic. The geology, the lake itself is pristine and beautiful. So it can be hard to get reservations. But when someone says, where do you want to go first? I spent a lot of time there as a kid exploring. So it holds a special place in my heart.
I remember swimming there as a kid and hiking there recently. And I guess I surprised myself at how arduous it was for me and how some of those climbs really got me, caught my breath. And I thought I was in better shape than that. But and you don't have to take some of those steep climbs, but it really is. You can pick and choose throughout Devil's Lake State Park. But I guess I surprised myself walking through there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, those high bluffs. But then there's also, I think it's called the Grotto Trail. It's down below. And you go into a place that's surrounded by ferns. And the temperature seems to drop, you know, 15 degrees from, you know, up high. So it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place.
Lou, let's dig into the... Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, but there's so much more. The other side of the state, you know, is the Shawamigan National Forest. Mm-hmm. There's Governor Dodge State Park. There's just so many places to go. You might get bored. You might live in Green Bay or Madison or Stevens Point and know all the trails in your backyard. And you might get a little, you know, I've done this so many times, but what's left to do? Well, you get in your car, put your bike or your boat in a rack, and with an hour, you can be in a whole new set of trails, a whole new set of waters. So that's kind of what makes Wisconsin special, is an hour away, there's whole new environments.
And Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest featured, along with Governor Dodge State Park, in this summer issue of Silent Sports, the Journal of Human-Powered Recreation, Lou. And I'm glad you wrote about Shawamigan-Nicolet, because it's 1.5 million acres in the North Woods. It could be a little bit intimidating when you're trying to figure out what you want to do there. But as the article points out, whether it's biking, paddling, running, hiking, camping, you can do it all in this one national forest.
Yes, exactly. And it tends to get overlooked. You know, you mentioned early on about people maybe not wanting to share their favorite place, right? Because it's my favorite place. Right. I don't want to share it with anybody else. But there's so much to do. I mean, there's just so much to do there. And in a weekend, you can gravel a mountain bike. You can paddle. You can hike. You can camp. It's one of those jewels of the Midwest that people tend to kind of hold close. With the magazine, we try to cover three things. What to do, running, trail running, biking, paddling, camping in the winter, cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, all of that. Then we try to say or try to promote where to do those things, right? And there's so many places across the state. We've mentioned a couple. Mm-hmm. But then the last part is, how do we protect those places? How do we support those places? So between the three of them, we have a pretty strong, table of contents in every issue.
Well, although the cover of the summer issue features Trek bicycles and their first 50 years, starting out here in Wisconsin, the first article in the book is about mining interests. And I found that interesting. And from an editor's point of view, Lou, it helps answer the third question, how do we protect it? And the story is about mining in the Midwest.
Yes, yes. It's a huge topic. The Boundary Waters gets mentioned, but there's also situations in Wisconsin and Upper Michigan where, outdoor enthusiasts are worried. Some of the mining interests say, this is good for jobs, we'll take care of the environment, but there's a lot of misinformation and skepticism. So we feel it's important to cover those issues. Mm-hmm. Mike McFadson, the author of this article, has been covering environmental issues for some time. He's a great writer. He really digs in and he tries to be, kind of bipartisan and just tell the stories. He's also written about the Knowles stewardship, that legislation that's been working its way through Wisconsin legislature. We call it a silent alarm. It's not so much danger, danger, but it's more like pay attention to these things. We cherish these places that we bike and paddle and camp in, and sometimes it needs a community voice to protect them.
One of the interesting points of the article to me was pointing out the economic impacts of mining versus tourism and whether or not these two would be in competition and whether that competition would mean a loss ultimately in revenue from tourism, because the question would be, could mining make as much as tourism does, and whether or not there would be a place for both industries to coexist, specifically in Wisconsin.
Exactly, exactly. That idea of, outdoor tourism in the past has been kind of dismissed. It's like, how can a bunch of bikers influence the local economy? But it can.
Yeah.
It can. When the state of Wisconsin has an Office of Outdoor Recreation, and they do a fantastic job of documenting statistics and local impact and outdoor impact. And I think people are surprised when they realize just how much money comes into their local economies from people biking and paddling and camping. They're, eating at local restaurants, they're staying at local hotels. You don't always have to camp, in a pup tent, right, to enjoy a place. Sometimes you want a nice shower and a comfortable bed. You might need a bike shop or an outdoor shop to get additional gear. There is an economic impact, and it needs to be evaluated.
We'll actually be talking about mining next week on this show, August 12th, with the author of the book, The Vanishing Earth, James Crawford. So we'll go into further detail about that. But it struck me that that's where your magazine begins, with a call to protection. The other thing that strikes me about silent sports, Lou, is the point of view of your those that write the articles is that they are silent sports enthusiasts themselves. They're clearly, they're participating in it. You think of journalism should be, at arm's reach. It should be, but these are people who are actually invested and experiencing these things and writing about their experiences as they go.
Exactly, exactly. You know, they're passionate about Wisconsin. They're passionate about their pursuits. They're all full-time workers. They all have full-time careers. And they're doing this on the side. You know, if I could write or publish all the stories, the magazine would be 200 pages a month. Because could you write about this or could you write about that? You know, Mike McFadden, Emily Stone is a naturalist that writes a Wild Notes column for us that, you know, asks people to slow down a little bit and pay attention to what's going on around them. You know, it's filled with every single contributor is passionate about what they do. And it's a joy to get pitches. It's frustrating when I have limited space on the print side. We're expanding our website so I can put stuff there more. But I have, on one hand, I have no shortage of articles and pitches. On the other hand, I'm always looking for new story ideas and new writers. So, you know, your listeners, if you've got story ideas, please send them my way.
Lou Durzak is the editor of Silent Sports, the Journal of Human-Powered Recreation, with their summer issue out now. And if you've got a place tucked away that deserves attention, don't be afraid to bring it up here. We won't bring too many people to your hot spot. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Frank in Springbrook next. Hi, Frank.
Yeah, hi. See, my comment is my favorite place is Northwest Wisconsin, town roads that are paved. I don't think people realize what a great resource this is for road biking. I grew up in southern Minnesota where, like, the town roads are gravel, and I rode a lot of bikes behind cars, and that's terrible. I'm not a big gravel fan just because growing up, that's what I experienced a lot. But if you come up here in Northwest Wisconsin, any of these counties up here, most of the town roads are paved, and it's excellent biking.
And I would imagine perfect scenery as you go.
Yes, yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I love that idea, and thank you for sharing it, Frank. The town roads of Northwest Wisconsin, Lou.
Yes, that's a great, that's a great idea. I have been through Ashland, Highway 2, all across the top there.
Yes.
And you're right. You know, there's lots of places where you can just go, stop from town to town to fill up your water bottle or get something to eat. But that's a beautiful area, definitely.
And yeah, I've certainly seen bikers out there enjoying that those town roads. But if you actually have an article about folks who are driving on gravel or biking on gravel in this issue of Summer Sports, Lou, and you take us to Marathon County's Granite Belt and the Red Granite Grinder.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So, you know, like when Greg started, he would write about cycling, but it would be road cycling. It'd be riding the hills around Madison or doing century rides. Then mountain biking came in, and Wisconsin, the fat tire bikes and all of that. As people became more distracted as drivers with phones and all of that, road riders got a little nervous, right? Mm-hmm. And although there are a lot of rails to trails, limestone conversion trails that are a nice option, gravel riding has just exploded. There's so many places, there's thousands and thousands of miles of gravel to ride on. It's a little different riding, right? When you're on a road bike and you go down a hill, you can just tuck in and glide and get the wind. There's no gliding in gravel riding, right? There's no gliding. But, you know, but Wausau and this gravel belt, I mean, there's, you know, I mean, yeah, it's Wausau in that area is becoming kind of a magnet for those riders. And it's beautiful country. Some of it's hilly,
yep.
But it'll test you. It'll test your skills. It'll test your physical fitness. But at the same time, whether it's summer or fall colors, man, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. It's like most people have one bike when they start. And then they have a road bike, and then they have a mountain bike, and now they have a gravel bike because a gravel bike is different from a road bike. And then they have two gravel bikes.
I know a few of these people. I am familiar with the type, and I get it. It makes sense to me. And you know, with the advent of these fat tire bikes, I now see people biking all year round throughout Wisconsin winters. And I don't think 10, 15 years ago, I even would have fathomed that.
You know, it's amazing. Climate change, whatever you want to do it to. But, you know, Nordic centers across the Midwest, especially Wisconsin, have struggled. You know, they put so much time and effort and resources into grooming, into having the trails pristine when the snow falls. But when the snow doesn't fall or doesn't come enough, what do? And fat bikes have become an option. All of these places, you know, and skiers and bikers have worked together. It's like bikers won't go on a groomed trail and ruin it for the skiers, but the skiers will acknowledge that if there's no snow, I'll just swap out my skis for my bikes. And those fat bikes, when they float over the snow, the tires are, you know, 4.5 inches, 5 inches wide. They're slow, but, you know, to be able to get out in the winter and explore whatever way you want to, again, it's just, Wisconsin's just, there's never a slow time, right? There's never a time of year that we hibernate or have to hibernate. We can do anything any time of the year.
Lou Durzac, our guest, and let's go back to your favorite spots for silent sports in Wisconsin and surrounding states at 1-800-642-1234. Sharon and DePeer, you're next. Hi.
Hi. We love to go up to Upper Door County, and some of our favorite places are Ellison Bay Bluff Park for the beautiful views and hiking, and Newport State Park for the international night sky. Stargazing is an amazing silent sport, and it's beautiful up there.
That is a silent sport. I'll give you that one, and especially when you can get away from the city lights in Upper Door County, Ellison Bay and Newport State Park. Lou, I'd say that if you haven't covered them recently, it may be worth a revisit.
Let's just say it's on a soon-to-come table of contents. Right?
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah. Again, some of our writers are saying, we have to go there. I've taken tours up there. I've done bike riding up there. I've done camping up there.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that she mentioned was the dark sky sanctuary. You know, we live in urban areas and it never gets dark. It just never gets dark. And when you go to northern Wisconsin, Shawinigan or Door County or Washington Island, and on a summer night, you lay on your sleeping bag, you can feel the stars are right there. I mean, it's like, why can't I see this in Madison or Milwaukee or even Stevens Point? But there's so much urban lighting that you don't get to see that. And we can take a kid or someone who's not used to the outdoors and you take them out and you see a full moon that's so bright, you can actually read to it. That's a wondrous thing, the way to get people kind of hooked on the outside. And the fact that I think there's several places in Wisconsin that have earned that dark sky sanctuary designation. So that's a cool thing.
For me, Lou, when I'm in the city, the sky at night seems to be two-dimensional. But when you get out into places where there are no artificial lighting to hold you back, the sky feels infinite. It feels like this three-dimension that goes on forever, that you can see the stars far away and up close. You get to see the entire Milky Way, and you understand why it's called the Milky Way, something you would never get with artificial and city lights.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, when you're camping in a full moon and it fills the sky and it's right there, and you tell someone you could actually, it's not perfect, but you can read a book, you know, and they're saying, no way, no way. It's like, well, come with me this weekend. Let's figure out when the full moon is. Let's go out and let's see this. And there's just such wonder. And like, as you say, the stars, it's not one or two or see, it's billions.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a wonderful way to enjoy the outdoors.
Full moon was last night, by the way. I saw it coming up over the lake. Let's go to Tim in Madison next. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Lee, welcome.
Thank you.
We, my family, love your new show.
Thank you very much.
Though we will miss the old man.
As will I.
But anyway, I just wanted to mention Boulder Junction as a focus of many cool and wonderful things. The guy earlier was talking about the trails being paved or the roads being paved. Well, out of Boulder Junction, there's a ton of bike trails that are paved. And some go all the way to Manitouish Waters, where there's a Discovery Park. And then in downtown Boulder Junction, they just put a bunch of money into a regulation and very challenging, may I say, disc golf course.
That's Vilas County, right?
That's Vilas County. And need I say, the fishing is outrageous. And so I just wanted to say that it doesn't really matter. And they also... One more thing, they have an ice cream shop that has a putt-putt golf course.
I'm going to say eating ice cream is a silent sport for me, at least. And Tim, yeah, Boulder Junction would be a... All right, I'm asking you, Lou, to cover Boulder Junction for me so we can get it in a future issue of the magazine.
You know, that's a perfect example of how communities are embracing outdoor recreation.
Yes.
They're understanding that, you know what, we're proud of our community, whether it's Boulder Junction or the Driftless area or Wausau or Stevens Point or Ashland. It's kind of like, you know, we're proud of here and we have something to offer. And so when we get bored of, you know, the same trails and the same things, it's like, I have a Saturday open. I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to drive.
Yes.
And I can go an hour, hour and a half to someplace like Boulder Junction. And be surprised and thrilled about the opportunities, whether it's bike trails. And sometimes, you know, what doesn't get mentioned with the bike trails is there's usually infrastructure around there. There's a place to lock your bike. There's a place to go to the bathroom. There's stores that cater to you in terms of, you know, food and water and maybe a bike shop or a paddle shop to, you know, get a tube for a flat tire or a replacement paddle or something like that. So state by or, you know, community by community, city by city, they're embracing outdoor recreation and welcoming people in. And it's benefiting everybody.
Yeah, it is a win-win for all. And as our producer Joel Patinaud points out, an avid biker himself and one of the former editors of Silent Sports Magazine, the heart of Vilas bike trail system in Boulder Junction is paved, connects a bunch of the communities together in Vilas County, and is 52 miles of paved trails just waiting to be visited by any number of your bikes, whatever you choose. And Tim, thanks again for the suggestion. And that is something that I've got to put on my list next time I make my way up to the North Woods. And our guest is Lou Durzak. He is the editor of Silent Sports, the Journal of Human-Powered Recreation. We are talking about biking and paddling, running, hiking, camping across the Midwest, and looking for your suggestions at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I do believe we've also included in Silent Sports watching the stars, seeing the moon rise, and eating ice cream. Yes. It all adds to the peace and tranquility, and we'll allow it for our conversation. You can also send us an email, and we'll get to some of those when we continue at talk@wpr.org. So what are your favorite spots around the Midwest, maybe beyond Wisconsin? We'll continue with the editor of Silent Sports, the Journal of Human-Powered Recreation, next. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to WPR News. So we started with the silent sports of biking, paddling, running, hiking, camping across the Midwest this hour on the Lee Rayburn Show with the editor of Silent Sports, the Journal of Human-Powered Recreation, Lou Durzak, who was our guest for the hour. But now we're expanding the idea of silent sports with the idea of star watching, ice cream eating. Heck, there might be a big long list of silent sports we haven't considered yet and some spaces to do it that have yet to be mentioned. So we invite you to our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk at WPR.org. We'll go to Ray in Coloma next. Hi, Ray.
Hi. Yes, it's a very interesting program. You mentioned camping. You mentioned one of the favorite state parks is Devil's Lake. Okay, you go there, and there's nice hiking, but there's a lot else to do if you're paddling or hiking, camping. You mentioned, yeah, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
And two tremendous silent sports are fishing without a motor on your boat, or fishing in a trout stream. That's much more silent than most of what you've been mentioning. And also birding, and specifically bird photography, which is an extension of a noisy sport, hunting. I've sold all my weapons for hunting.
Yes.
And invested in cameras. It's tremendous to stalk the birds, stalk wildlife, and capture those pictures. Then you can take them home and enjoy them in your computer or whatever. It's those are two fantastic silent sports that you hadn't mentioned. One of your listeners barely mentioned fishing. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Ray, that is a perfect addition to the list. And new, Lou Durzak from Silent Sports, the Journal of Human-Powered Recreation. I suppose we have to add it to our list.
We do. We haven't covered fishing much in our history, based on Greg Marr's original kind of vision. We have covered fly fishing a bit. It's something that we're considering. But the caller mentioned birding.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely central to this. One of our writers, Emily Stone, writes a column called Wild Notes. And it's a wonderful place to slow down because she combines nature and science. So she'll talk about all the birds that are around in Wisconsin that you would see if you stop. Right? When you're on your bike or you're hiking, using your trekking poles, and you're trying to get from the next place to the next place. But if you stop and listen and look, you'll see all kinds of birds, all different kinds of species. You'll see them eating different berries and different plants, different nesting. And her Wild Notes column is a wonderful place to read and to learn and just kind of like, okay, maybe I don't need to go so fast. Maybe, yes, I'm on my bike, I'm enjoying, but I don't have to worry that I've got to be here by then so that I can be there by then and there by then. So Emily's column started last July, and I love reading her work because it's just so, I didn't know that. I didn't know about this bird, or I didn't know about this flower, or I didn't know about this this toad or this frog or things like that. So every column that I read, when I get it in, I make sure that I clean off some time so I can just pay attention and read. But she definitely covers the birds that are all over Wisconsin.
I remind myself of the advice to take time to listen to the wind. And every time I do, Ray, what I hear are the birds calling out to me, speaking to each other, and being part of that sound of listening to the wind. And we talked to Dexter Patterson, a birder, a week or so ago, and my appreciation for not just birds, but those who watch them and those who photograph them. There is an entire world of ancient species there flying around us, and all we have to do is take the time to watch and listen. So I appreciate you that adding to our list. Terry in La Crosse, you might have another suggestion to add to silent sports. We'll go to you next. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So my favorite silent sport is dragon boat paddling. We have a dragon boat team in La Crosse that's comprised entirely of breast cancer survivors.
Oh, wow.
And we've been in existence since, well, the first dragon boat festival in La Crosse was back in 2013. But we go to regional festivals. We are going to France next month for an international festival for breast cancer paddlers. So we just love what we do. Many of us were not athletes in our younger years, but it gives us a sense of power and victory over our diseases.
I was fortunate enough to be able to see dragon boat races in Ithaca, New York. They held those every year there on Cayuga Lake. And I would say, though, in my experience, it wasn't so silent. There was a lot of cheering going on for all the boaters.
That's right. It's just fabulous. We actually had a intro to dragon boat paddling for the community. I think it was maybe a month or so ago. Explore La Crosse sponsored Paddles and Premieres weekend, and we were one of the opportunities to get in a dragon boat, and we had a lot of interest and hope to continue to kindle that fire for people who like to paddle.
How many people fit in a dragon boat, Terry?
Our boats are 20-person boats.
Yeah.
So we have 20 paddlers and then a stern and back and a drummer in front. So 22 in the boat. There are 10-person boats as well, but we don't own one of those.
Did we miss the La Crosse Dragon Boat Fest this year? Is that upcoming?
Actually, we haven't had a festival since COVID, unfortunately. But we go to festivals in other communities. Iowa, we were in Chicago last weekend, and Minocqua has a fabulous dragon boat festival mid-August.
Okay. I love Minocqua, and it is on my list, Terry. And dragon boats, they've got drummers, they've got cheering, but it is a motorless sport, Lou.
You know, silent sports lives under a big umbrella.
There you go.
Right? So, Terry, please look up my email address on the silentsportsmagazine.com and send me a note, because I have another contributing writer who has been a coach for dragon boats. And I've followed that story for a while, and I'd love to write about it. So send me an email. Let's connect. I've also seen the big, long canoes that the Voyagers have used to travel across the boundary waters in northern Wisconsin, and they're huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so canoeing in all forms, whether it's the sunken canoes in Lake Mendota or dragon boats, I'm happy to cover them all. So please send me a note.
Yeah, the sunken canoes in Lake Mendota, part of this issue of Silent Sports Magazine, the summer issue. And what's your website again, Lou?
SilentSportsMagazine.com.
Easy enough, Terry, and thank you so much for the call. We'll go to Wendy in Manitowoc next. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Lee. I wanted to tell you guys about an event coming up at the end of August here in Manitowoc. It's one that we've been doing for several years. My friend Kim and I started Friends of the Manitowoc River Watershed back in 2012. And somewhere along the way, we decided that it would be really cool to have an experience to paddle on the Manitowoc River as the moon comes up.
Oh.
So, and the Manitowoc River is really cool where we do this, because we launch at Lower Chute Park, Lower Henry Chute Park in the city of Manitowoc. And that part of the river looks it's very wilderness-like. But as we travel toward Lake Michigan, we get into the historic part of the river. So we pass by where the submarines were launched. We pass by where Berger Boat is still building boats. We pass by the USS Cobia, and we end up out in the harbor by the YMCA in the area where the car ferry docks. So it's just a super cool event. And it's free. And what we do is we encourage people to come to the Lower Henry Chute Park, be ready to have all the boats in the water by about 8:15 at night. And then as the moon comes up over Lake Michigan, we're paddling toward it. And it's Friday night.
August 28th. Yeah, I was just looking that up. Yep. It's the next full moon. So Friday night, August 28th. And do we need our own canoe?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Bring your own kayak or canoe. We've even had paddle boarders.
Okay.
And we do have a rain date for August 29th in case the 28th would be yucky. You know, stay overnight in Manitowoc. There's lots to do on Saturday morning. Wait and hang out with us and come on Saturday night instead. So the aim is for it to be on Friday night, the 28th, with a rain date of the 29th.
And Friends of the Manitowoc River Watershed, would we be easy to find you online anywhere, Wendy?
We do have our own website,
okay.
friendsofmanitowocriver.org, and we're also on Facebook, Friends of the Manitowoc River.
Well, I got to find myself a kayak. And Wendy, thank you so much for the call and the invitation. Lou, that sounds like I begin to understand your struggle as an editor of this magazine, because you talked about potentially having 200 pages and then having to decide what to include and what to leave out, because all of this sounds like it's part of the story of the silent sports of the Midwest.
Fortunately, we have four quarterly issues, print issues that are almost close to 100 pages of edit, but then we have the website as well. So yes, I'm writing notes constantly. what I wanted to mention, she talked about the Friends of.
Yes.
And that's kind of under the surface, but there's an organization called the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. It was founded in 1966. Right now, there are 65 different Friends groups across the state. And, you know, Wisconsin State Parks, 20 million people visit those parks, 20 million people. And with government, you know, funding cuts and state funding challenges and all of that, these Friends groups put, you know, hard physical labor, volunteer hours, cleaning, organizing, clearing trails, painting, doing all kinds of things that are under the radar. You know, people are passionate. They want to protect these places. They want to support these places. So they get together and they join these groups. Sometimes they're informal. Then they get to the point where they become, you know, a 501c3 nonprofit or whatever. But there's literally 65 Friends groups that are supporting state parks across the state. And that, again, goes to our mission of, you know, how do we support and protect the places that we play? So even her Friends group, that's just another example of people banding together to, you know, show some love to the places that they enjoy.
It's not lost on me, Lou, as the editor of Silent Sports, the Journal of Human-Powered Recreation. While we mentioned before, the first article in the summer 2026 issue is about concerns over mining in the Midwest. The second article is about the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. And it is an interesting contrast. And as you mentioned, 65 friend groups now supporting over 118 state park properties. And then there are the others, like Wendy's Friends of the Manitowoc River Watershed, with their full moon boat ride, paddle ride coming up here August 28th with a rain date August 29th. Thank you so much. And I want to, again, Lou Durzak, our guest, editor of the Silent Sports Journal of Human-Powered Recreation, and invite your suggestions at 1-800-642-1234 or talk at WPR.org. Let's go to Mike in Stevens Point next. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hello. Yeah, hey, listen, Stevens Point is famous for the Point Brewery, of course, but we have a thing that's called the Green Circle, and it's 30 miles all around Stevens Point, 7 miles along the Wisconsin River and then through the woods. And the university is here, so it's a nice place to come. But I'm really calling because north of here, 20 miles, Mosinee, which is then Wausau, 10 miles after that, is great too, a hilly city with the Rib Mountain and everything. But I'm calling because just outside of Mosinee and many miles north and many miles west is the best ginseng in the whole wide world.
Really?
And there are millions of, at one time there were 3,200 ginseng farmers in just Marathon County, and it's all hilly, it's all very remote, it's very great for bicycling. I was just there in the last week. There's a good place if you want to get ginseng called the ginseng co-op there, but for all the ginseng farmers, but if people who just like bicycling, and it's very remote, there's hardly any cars or anything, but it's very beautiful and hilly and all the and green, all these beautiful fields and trees and everything. It's a very beautiful place to go, along with Stevens Point and Wausau.
Mike, great suggestions. The Green Circle Trail in Stevens Point, the hilly roads to the north, great biking on hills, Mosinee and the Ginseng Co-op. All wonderful suggestions. And Mike, your call reminds me of an article in this issue of Silent Sports, and it has to do with Menasha. And we've seen, you know, some real tough times there this week with the severe weather, the extreme tornadoes, and there is also a place to visit if you want to support the community that is detailed in your magazine this this summer, Lou.
Yeah, it's sad that that happened, but it, we're hoping that everything is it gets back to normal soon and people go back to visit. One of the things that I wanted to really point out about Silent Sports is there can be a perception that this is only practiced by 20-somethings that are very fit and you know, very expensive gear. That's the only way that you can enjoy it. But it's just the opposite. You know, whether these bikes are paved or gravel or limestone, they're all family friendly, generally family friendly. So whether you're a first time biker or you have a family with a trailer, whether it's a short mile long loop in Devil's Lake, or, you know, these more remote things near Mosinee, Silent Sports is welcoming to all. You know, you'll find, you know, you go on a bike trail and you stop at a trailhead and there might be four or five people standing around waiting for water or something like that. They'll strike up a conversation and you can ask them about a bike or how, what does that feel like when you've got clip-on pedals? How does that work? Or how did your trailer work with your kids? So it's welcoming. You can start with a old bike that's from your garage, fill up the tires and go. You can use a fiberglass boat, a plastic boat, an aluminum war canoe, you know,
or just a pair of shoes.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So it, you know, there is joy in getting outside, and whether it's seeing the moon or just having the wind in your face and smelling green, you know, in the spring, it's all inviting, and there's a lot of benefits to it. So please don't feel like you have to have an expensive bike or an expensive boat, or you've got to have all the best camping gear. You know, most people start with a tent that they've inherited, or a, you know, a bike that's been in the garage for 10 years, or an old Coleman stove. Start wherever you want to start, but start.
Kathy in Amherst emailed to say her favorite Silent Sport is horseback riding. Horses move silently through the landscape, and in Wisconsin, we're fortunate that our state parks have extensive networks of bridle trails. I guess I did not know that, Lou.
I didn't either. But it's, again, with dragon boats, horseback riding,
yeah,
birds. I've got a lot of ideas that I need to explore. To dig in a little more, to make sure that I'm doing things for all these readers, all these potential readers.
Disc golf also came up, by the way, which, you know, I've got some friends who are pretty committed to it. And sure, you can start with one disc, but for the avid fans, they seem to have an entire stack, no different than any other golfer. I don't know how silent they are out there on the courses, I would say. Chad from Sheboygan called, couldn't stay with us. He's currently in one of the dispersed campsites in Shawamigan National Forest, and he highly recommends camping there. For obvious reasons and reasons that you detail in the magazine. Let's go to Stephen Marshfield next. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Lee and Lou. Great program. I'd like to, you guys, maybe talk a little more about the protection aspect. What threats are you seeing to our open land and our state parks and places we like to do both silent sports and unsilent sports? You know, we hear one of the candidates for governor is working with this Texas group and they want to do away with our access to public lands. Maybe you guys could consider doing an article in the magazine about the threats to our sports and our public access to lands.
Oh, thanks. Steve, they are way ahead of you, my friend, because that is part of the article, the very first article in the current Silent Sports magazine. So you'll find it right after the front pages and the index. And it'll discuss the author of the Mining for America Act and the questions about balancing out industries in Wisconsin and the priorities we will choose to make and how policy will help decide those priorities. So it's in there, Steve. Check it out, the magazine, Silent Sports, the Journal of Human-Powered Recreation. Let's go to Luis in Dodgeville next. Hi, Luis.
Hi. I wanted to let you know about the Driftless Trail that is starting out here in Iowa County. So it's the planners, eventually it's going to be a 50-mile loop. And it's going to connect areas like Taliesin, Power Hill State Park, Blue Mound State Park, Governor Dodge State Park. And the cool thing about it is that it goes through private landowners' properties. So it, like, showcases really great geography and just, you know, the Driftless area, topography. And the website where you can get more information is actually the Driftless Area Land Conservancy. Mm-hmm. And there's portions of the trail that are open right now, and then they're still building it, so it's kind of in a way like a mini Ice Age trail.
Sure.
Out in southwest Wisconsin,
only with more hills.
Exactly.
Do you know an estimated time when it might be completed, Luis?
I don't. I think their goal, I mean, it's going to take a while. So I'd say another, for the whole thing, I think they're estimating like 10 to 15 years.
Okay.
But
there's areas
now. There's areas now that's open. And you can volunteer. You can be like a trail builder.
Ooh.
So, there's ways to get involved.
The Driftless Area Land Conservancy.
One of our frequent writers, Timothy Bauer, has an article in this issue just about that Driftless hiking trail. The Driftless sometimes gets overlooked by other parts of the state, but it's a wonderful place to hike, to bike, to paddle. So thank you for mentioning that. Pick up that issue, and there is a well-written, in-depth article about the development of that trail.
Thank you for the call, Luis. Chris emailed to suggest checking out land trust lands across Wisconsin. Land trusts are often overlooked, says Chris, yet there is no charge to hike in some very unique protected lands. In Door County, more than 10,000 acres are protected by land trusts. Another suggestion.
Ball issue. Page 12.
You're kidding me.
Look. I didn't call these. These aren't people calling from me, right? These are great stories. It just shows how many great stories there are, right? And I get a lot of pitches and queries. What about this? What about that? I do a lot of research, and it's wonderful to hear things come up that I already have in the works. So literally, the Door County Land Trust will be in our fall issue. Timothy Bauer, that wrote the Driftless hiking article, is working on it as we speak.
That is really impressive, and it goes to show that you, Lou, and our listeners are all on the same page and celebrating the silent sports and the areas we get to enjoy them throughout Wisconsin and beyond. Thank you so much for a wonderful discussion. I want to invite you back because I know there are more places to find around our state and beyond, and there are more things to do quite quietly with some contemplation. Lou, thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Lou Durzak is editor of the Silent Sports Journal of Human-Powered Recreation with its summer issue out now. And thank you as well for everybody who participated in the conversation. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to WPR News.